Welcome into another edition of the Natural State of Politics podcast. It's Tuesday, March 25th, 2014, and I'm your host, J.R. Davis. Today I'm talking with Democratic State Representative Fred Love of Little Rock, who will be entering his third term in the Arkansas House in 2015. Love is running unopposed in District 29. First things first, here are some of your headlines. We're less than a week out from the deadline to sign up for health care under the Affordable Care Act, but some Americans may actually get some extra time to finish their applications. Now, even though the White House says it's not extending the March 31st deadline, it is considering giving those who start the process by month's end more time if they run into any of those problems we've encountered previously. Now, Americans who don't have health insurance this year could wind up paying a fine. Meanwhile, there are several enrollment workshops right here in Northwest Arkansas offering help to those who need it. For a list of that, you can visit nwahomepage.com. Attorney General Dustin McDaniel rejecting once again the wording of a medical marijuana ballot initiative. The measure was proposed by the group Arkansans for Medical Cannabis. I know it sounds redundant, but this is a different group. According to McDaniel, some of the language in it is too ambiguous. All the wording must be approved before supporters can start collecting the 60,000-plus signatures needed to get the issue on the November ballot. Now, I said it was redundant. You may recall two other Arkansas groups are also working to legalize medical marijuana, both of those already in the signature process. You can read more about those groups and what makes their proposals different, once again, on our website, nwahomepage.com. And it's back to Washington this week for members of Arkansas's congressional delegation. The lawmakers were able to spend the last week in the natural state visiting with constituents and traveling areas within their district. This week, they'll be a part of votes designed to provide economic assistance to the Ukraine. Now, we've already seen some of those votes come down already. We'll keep you updated on that as they happen as well. And in case you missed it, Republican Representative Jeremy Gillum of Judsonia was elected the new speaker designate of the Arkansas House last week with 57 votes. Republican Matthew Shepard received 21 votes. The only Democrat, Fred Love, who we'll be talking to in just a bit, received 15 votes. And Republican Kim Hammer, one of the deciding votes in continuing the funding of the state's private option, received 5 votes. Now, by and large, this is pretty much a symbolic vote. Another vote will have to be taken for speaker once the new membership convenes next year. Now, if you recall, Representative Darren Williams, Democrat, was elected speaker designate, but when Republicans swept into the majority in 2013, Davy Carter was elected speaker, and that wasn't the only surprise. Representative Terry Rice was thought to be the Republican choice, only to have Carter take the speakership with Democratic support. Joining me now is Representative Fred Love of Little Rock. First of all, thanks for coming on with us this morning.
Well, thank you for having me, JR.
All right. Well, first of all, let's just kind of talk a little bit about the fiscal session. Obviously, you're right in the middle of it, serving on the House Public Health Committee as well as the Joint Budget Committee. What are your thoughts on this fiscal session? Was it a success from your point of view?
Well, I would definitely say that the fiscal session was a success. There were definitely some rough times. The prevailing conversation was about the public option, and we got it passed. So we did the right thing for the people of Arkansas.
All right, let's kind of get into the speaker race. Obviously, Republican Representative Jeremy Gillum is the one who won that, got 57 votes.
Correct.
Got 15. You were the only Democrat who threw their hat into the ring. And we've seen this in the past. Things could definitely change. We saw Darren Williams, the representative who was named speaker designate at the end of 2012, only to see the Republicans take over the House. And then, of course, we saw the whole thing with Speaker Carter and Representative Terry Rice of Waldron, that whole thing there. So you're the Democrat. If Democrats take back the House this election, and it is 51-48 right now with the Republicans in control, if they take it back, you feel pretty confident where you are. Again, they'd have to vote on it again, though, correct?
Well, correct. But first, let me first congratulate my friend Jeremy Gillum for getting the endorsement from the House as Speaker Designee. He's a great guy. I believe that he's a capable leader. But secondly, I will say that I do think if the dynamics change in the House where the Democrats take control, we would possibly go ahead and vote in a Democratic Speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And do you feel, I mean, obviously the only one who threw their hat into the ring this time around, would you feel confident? I mean, do you feel like you have the support that if that were to happen?
Oh, definitely. I think that that my caucus members will line up behind me, and we will definitely elect a Democratic speaker. But here's what I will tell you.
Okay.
Is that I can't guarantee that something like what happened between Terry Rice and Davy Carter won't happen.
Okay.
I mean, you can never guarantee that, but I do feel confident that the members of my caucus will support me.
And speaking of Davy Carter, obviously it was one of those things. Well, let me back up a little bit. When you look at the session as a whole, there was some back and forth, but it wasn't necessarily between Democrats and Republicans. It was between Republicans themselves over the private option. I don't think that Washington politics has gotten to the state level here in Arkansas yet. But, again, you see Davy Carter and the way he led, reaching across the aisle. Jeremy Gillum, from everything I understand, has a similar personality of that of Carter. If you ended up somehow, or a Democrat were to get the speakership and Democrats take back the House, what do you see going forward? Because this private option is not going away anytime soon. And do you think that working together is still something that the state legislature can do?
Well, definitely. I mean, that was one of my cornerstones in my speeches, that how I can work across the aisle. And I definitely feel that even if the House does not change and we have Republican leadership, I'm confident that my friend Jeremy Gillum will reach across the aisle and continue to work in a bipartisan manner. I don't feel like any of the candidates for speaker would not do that. And so I'm confident that we will continue to do what's best for the people of Arkansas, and that is to keep the private option in place. Now, with that being said, I feel that we're also smart enough to know that if there's some things that need to be, I would say, tweaked, for lack of better terms, then that we would do it at that time. But I'm confident that the private option will be in effect for years to come. And I think that's the best thing for the people of Arkansas.
You currently represent District 29 there in the State House, right in the heart of Arkansas, right there in central Arkansas.
Correct.
So you're around it all the time. What is the environment right now at the Capitol, and what have you seen change in the last really couple of elections?
I would say that more of the Washington-style politics and ideology have, you know, it's not a prevailing attitude at the Capitol, but it has started to set in.
Mm-hmm.
I think that compromise has become a dirty word, but that's the only way that we can get things done is that we, you know, nobody can always get 100% of what you want. I mean, I don't get 100% of what I want, but I have to find a way to work with others to get things done. And that's I think that that's the predominant attitude of my colleagues in the House.
Despite the speakership or anything like that, obviously Democrats would like to take back the House in the 2014 elections. A lot of folks think that Republicans are better positioned now than they were even in 2010 or 2012 to have a big election. How do you feel from the Democratic standpoint? Do you feel like you guys have a really good shot at taking back the House despite what maybe some other people are saying?
I do. I feel like we have great candidates, and I feel like we have that we have demonstrated that we wanted to work for the people of Arkansas. And I think that that message we can take, and I think we can go ahead and win back the House. I do believe that.
Okay. And let's kind of talk a little bit about yourself. You got your bachelor's degree in political science and a master's degree in public health from University of Arkansas at Little Rock there, UALR. And then you're currently, at least it says you're currently working towards your completion of your doctorate degree in public health. Are you still working on that?
Well, actually, as of right now, I've taken a hiatus on that because I've been so busy actually working in the legislature, and then I also work full-time. And
okay.
So I've taken a hiatus from that.
Well, I hit on that to obviously talk about the private option. It's something I'm sure you right up your alley as far as what the state has been dealing with for the past couple of years now. This is something that's going to go forward. We're talking, I mean, years. People, especially going into next year's 2015 session, where the private option will once again be brought up. What is your thoughts on the private option? Why does it work? We've heard from Republicans on both sides of it, but as a Democrat, why does this work for the state of Arkansas?
I will tell you several things on why it works. Number one, in the premise of the of not only the private option, but just the Affordable Care Act, mm-hmm. is to ensure that we can control the cost. And to control the cost is you have to provide preventative medicine for people. Instead of I can just give you an example. Is it cheaper to actually provide care for somebody in just stage one cancer or stage four cancer? Well, the obvious answer is stage one. Well, with the private option, you have, the screens, preventative care, different measures like that, which actually ensures that we can control the cost. Number two, there's over $400 million of new revenue in the private option. That's something that people really don't talk about. Mm-hmm. Number three, it's up to 6,200 new jobs by adopting the private option. That is not even talked about. And so I believe once we just allow the private option to begin to take effect and we see the residual effects of the private option, I believe people will understand that the private option is definitely a good thing for Arkansas. Because once we have healthier people, we have a healthier workforce. Well, in order to have good economic development, you have to have a healthy workforce. So there's just good things that the private option provides that I don't believe it gets lost in the and the kind of the talking points.
Sure.
And so I think that the private option in the long run will prove to be the best thing for the state of Arkansas.
From the Republican side of things, and really goes along with that infighting we were talking about, regardless of where they stand, Republicans as a whole do say that this is for and against, constantly push against Obamacare, saying, those for it saying it's not Obamacare, it's an alternative to Obamacare, those against it saying it is Obamacare. To a degree, obviously. So, do you feel like the ACA was the right path forward for our country, and now we're seeing that in Arkansas? Basically, what I'm asking is, we've heard the arguments from Republicans. You feel that the private option is a good thing from a Democratic standpoint, but do you feel like the overall Affordable Care Act was something good for the country?
I do, and I'll tell you the exact argument that we were having before we implement the Affordable Care Act. We were having more and more people get on Medicaid rolls, and that's because they did not have insurance. And so we were still facing a shortfall before we implemented the private option, and that's what many people don't talk about. Our Medicaid rolls were continuing to grow, and so our match to the federal dollars was continuing to grow. And Arkansas had, we did not have that money there. And so I think that if people would look at it as the preventative piece and stress that, we're now providing the insurance for people to go instead of waiting until they get sick to try to treat them, I think that people will understand that the cost of care will gradually go down. Mm-hmm. And that right there is going to be the linchpin for why the Affordable Care Act will be successful, not only in Arkansas, but around the country. And it's not a Democrat or Republican argument. That's just the fact.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. When you look at the actual funding for the ACA, and then it comes on down to the some call it a wink and a nod from the federal government saying that, hey, we're going to pay for this for the first 3 years, and then eventually it goes to a 90-10 match. One of the biggest arguments for those against the private option saying, what happens if that money, if they kind of get hung out there with the federal government saying we're going to pay for this, and then the money ends up not being there. Many say it's not there already. Are you worried about that in the future, that Arkansas could be in a pinch financially if this were to ever go south?
Definitely not, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because these are the same Medicaid dollars that we're receiving. So why would the federal government all of a sudden say that they're just going to stop funding Medicaid?
But you are branching out. We're talking 250,000 more Arkansans. I mean, that would definitely increase the bill, if you will. Correct.
That definitely is correct. But here's the thing that people don't talk about is those dollars that were in Medicare are now Medicaid, and so what happens is that once we have people covered, the cost of uncompensated care goes down, the cost of people going to emergency rooms and the cost of care goes down. So I'm not concerned with what people say is going to happen. I'm concerned with what is actually going to happen.
So basically you're saying for right now, you're saying because of this, then the costs that we currently see in the state of Arkansas will go down. So you see it as almost a wash almost?
Okay. Correct. Well, actually, it will definitely go down, but I guess the emphasis is going to be on the preventative piece.
Right.
Taking off. If we can enroll, and this is why the argument was that stopping the IPAs from going out and getting people enrolled was such a critical piece in advertising, is because the more people that we get on, the more people that we can get engaged in the system, the better off financially we can be, because the health care will be cheaper. In another aspect of this is the fact that if we don't get people covered, it will then become costly, because people don't stop using Medicaid people don't stop using our healthcare system because they're not insured. They just go onto the Medicaid rolls, and that's continuously growing. And I guess that's what people are, you know, when they begin to argue against this, is that's what people are not seeing, is that it's not the fact that our Medicaid rolls are not growing, because they're continuously growing. So the cost is there anyway. And so it's better to do it on a preventative side versus doing it on a tertiary after the fact that people get sick.
Yeah, interesting take there for sure. All right, let's move on to the last subject. I know you got other things you got to do.
Sure.
You're entering your third term. You're unopposed, correct?
Correct.
And you're running for District 29, going into your third term in the House, which, again, will probably be even more exciting than what we saw the last couple of years, you can bet, especially with new members coming in. Let me ask you this. For 8 years now, Governor Mike Beebe has been the governor in control down there in Little Rock. What do you think happens when he's done? I mean, how do you feel, either whether it be someone like Asa Hutchinson or Curtis Coleman or Mike Ross or whoever it might be, gets into office down there? What do you think the state misses, though, with someone like Mike Beebe, and how do you think he's done over the course of really the last 8 years, probably the last couple of years, though, as an emphasis?
Well, number one, I mean, it would be a vast hole of Mike Beebe has a wealth of knowledge that the state of Arkansas will miss. And so, I mean, you can't fill that void of knowledge. And so his leadership through just tough issues such as the Affordable Care Act, it's invaluable. I do believe, though, that with good leadership, we could try to overcome some of those things. But Mike Beebe will be missed, because I mean, he just had a grasp of a lot of things, especially because he was I'll say this, he was a creature of the legislature, so he had served as on the state senate level and the AG's office, and so he was just very knowledgeable of how the entire process worked, and that was very helpful. With term limits, with people being limited, I mean, the knowledge is, you know, the knowledge, the institutional knowledge is not passed on, and so we're going to miss that institutional knowledge.
Yeah, and that's what I really wanted to hit on there. Obviously, with someone like Mike Beebe, who has that, like you talked about, institutional knowledge, he's been there. He knows how it works. He knows how the system works. He knows how to, you know, let's face it, get stuff done between Republicans and Democrats. Again, if you have someone like a Mike Ross, who did have some state legislative experience, but it's been a while, and someone like Asa Hutchinson, both have served in Congress. Curtis Coleman not having any at all. Do you think that there is a definite gap there coming into what should be probably a pretty, I don't want to use the word heated, but it'll be, I would imagine there's probably quite a few emotions going into the 2015 session.
Yeah, I think there's a definite gap there, but I think if you had someone, and not just because I'm a Democrat, but if you had someone like a Mike Ross, I think that would be helpful because he doesn't only bring the state experience, but he also brings the federal experience. And I believe that he would be more apt to work with some of the people in Mike Beebe's administration to make the transition easier. Now, that's not to say that if you were to have someone like Asa Hutchinson, he would just go in and clean house. But the fact of the matter is sometimes when you get a change like that, they're not going to keep the same administration as Mike Beebe.
Yeah.
So I think that it would be a definite advantage if we were to elect someone like Mike Ross because, like I said, he has institutional knowledge, but also I know that he would be more likely to work with the Beebe administration.
Well, however you look at it, it's going to be a very different 2015 in the state of Arkansas,
Definitely. In
the state legislature, and in the governor's office for sure. All right, State Representative Fred Love of Little Rock, thank you so much. We appreciate you taking time this morning.
Well, thank you for having me, JR.
All right, we'll talk again soon. This has been another edition of the Natural State of Politics podcast. I'm your host, JR Davis, along with our director, Jeff Campbell. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you soon.
This production is copyright 2014 by Nexstar Broadcasting Group. All rights reserved.